Ramsey TV.
Well, folks, today's going to be a personal show. And I'm going to tell you why I'm making a personal show in a moment. In fact, I'm going to tell you how I make a show, period. But first, I must point out that, my trash over here is full. I thought I'd leave it that way. I just haven't gotten around to pulling the bag out. And because of that, I have a pile back here of things that are supposed to be in there. But they can't go in there until I take that out. And I'm going to do that. And the reason I have a sheen on my face, I'm sweating because my air conditioner broke this morning. And the guy hasn't come to fix it yet. So I don't know if you know how much I love fans. Yeah, fans keep me company. I need that noise in the background. But I have to turn the fans off when I'm making a show. So thus, the sheen of sweat. And this, my friends, is called Jameson Irish Whiskey. And so I'm going to drink that throughout this show to give me courage to talk about this. I'm making the show because of a video I watched about an hour ago by our friend Jason. I'm going to link you to that video down here. It's a 5-minute video, and it's about me. He sent me a link today. He said, I made a video about you. Well, my curiosity was piqued for sure. So I checked it out, and I smiled throughout the whole thing. It was just sweet and amusing to me. I hope you watch it, and I'm going to comment on it. Jason said that he thought it was amazing that at the end of every show, I seem to come up with a phrase to end the show that just encapsulates everything that has gone before in the show. And he was wondering about that. And I think he used a verse that God knows the end from the beginning. The end from the beginning. And so he concluded that I know what I'm going to say at the end. I have it planned ahead of time, and then I build the show on this crashing statement that I make at the end. And like I said, I smiled throughout because the truth is, I don't know what I'm going to say at the end of a video until 5 seconds before the video ends. Somehow, everything that I said before comes rushing in, and then I make a statement that seems to, like I say, gather all the information and encapsulate it and gives you something to remember. And if I think about it, I told Jason in an email I sent to him, I said, well, I might have commented. I think I said this in the comment on his video. You can read it there. That, I hope I don't start overthinking this and then I won't be able to do it anymore. Which brings me to the main topic. I don't know how this happens. I'm going to be straight with you and completely honest to you. And the reason I'm talking about this again is because of the video I just watched. I hadn't planned on talking about this today. But because these are going to be life lessons. Things I want to say to you are going to help you because they're life lessons. They've helped me. Most people think that I really have it together, that I'm just so smooth and fluent on these videos, and I know exactly what to say in every circumstance. And I will tell you that I have no idea, if this does happen, I have no idea how it happens. Jason quoted me in his video as saying that I've made over 1,600 shows, but this just proves to you that I don't really think about it. I don't really calculate anything, but the fact is, it can't be right. I think I've made probably 2,300 shows. But anyway, that adds to the point, because every single show I have made is a miracle. I never take any show for granted. I approach this camera and this microphone with fear and trembling. Every single time. I'm never on autopilot. I never just assume, yeah, I'm going to do another show. It's going to be great. I don't know if it's going to be great. I don't even know if it's going to be coherent. I don't know anything because I don't take it for granted and I am weak. I don't have it all together. The one thing I do have is that for 8 years, I saturated myself with reading, with knowledge, with study, with concordances, with the Greek, with the Hebrew, and I just studied day and night for 8 years. So I have all the information in me. But sometimes I feel, and I think you feel this way too, that sometimes I feel like, do I really know anything? I mean, because sometimes that information that God gives you, the knowledge you have of Him, it just lies dormant in there. And you wonder, is it there? Is it still there? Am I going to lose it? Have I lost it? Because I realize God could take everything away, not the faith, as I told you. But He could take any ability I have to talk, any ability I have to make sense. He could take it away any day. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. This is a constant reality to me. And so I consider every show a miracle. And I don't know if there's going to be another one. Like I say, I'm never on autopilot. Before every show, I pray that I say something worthy, that I say something that will help you, the saints. Because I don't know if I will, like I say. I feel like every show is a tightrope walk. Every show is a risk. Every show is a mystery. And I'm always trepidatious at the beginning. I mean, before I start a show, I always don't know if I'm going to still have it. And when I'm finished a show, I feel so relieved. And I kind of can't believe that it happened again. I can't believe it. It happened again. Oh my God. How did it happen again? I don't know. And I think that the key is to not be self-conscious. And I learned that in 1994, as I told you, the first talk I ever gave. Talk about being afraid. I stuttered my whole life, as I've told you. Some people are hearing it for the first time because they have new viewers all the time. It was a real plague my entire life. In school, grade school, high school, I would take failing grades because I couldn't give talks in the front of the class. It was my worst nightmare. When they went around the class to everybody read a paragraph in a book, I would pretend to lose my place and sit down and everybody would laugh. It was a horrifying, terrifying. I just hated it. I couldn't communicate. And so God did this. And I think that frustration over the years of not being able to articulate what I was thinking, I always had thoughts, I always had things I wanted to say, but I couldn't say them. And so when God delivered me of that, it's like the dam broke. Then you couldn't shut me up. And the first time it happened has been a template for me for my whole time here doing this in the last 29 years. And that was June of 1994. Many of you have heard this before. I went to a conference as an observer, as a participant, never thinking that I was going to talk because I was a writer. But my friend Ted McDivitt on Friday night came up to me and said, "Hey, I have a slot open on tomorrow, Saturday at 2 p.m. I'd like you to take it." And before I even thought, I said yes. Because I told God when I started this work, I'll do whatever it takes to get the truth out, even if I'm uncomfortable with it, even if it's not my thing. And this is actually not my thing. Writing is my thing. And so I didn't sleep the whole night before, didn't sleep, not a wink, just laid awake, just why, God, why, just terrified. And the next day, I was terrified. I felt like I was going to my own crucifixion. I wanted to die. I was hoping to, I would rather have ascended the 13 steps to a gallows than to speak in front of, there was 35 people there in Windham, Ohio. Dean Huff was there, James Corn was there, Phil Scrant was there, a lot of people I respected. And I thought, what am I doing here? And I went to the bathroom, I went to the restroom before the thing started, and I got on my knees at the soap-caked sink, and I prayed to God. I said, "God, if it's possible, please deliver me from this. But if it's not possible, then let me do this for your glory, and you have to help me, because I don't know how I'm going to do this." And there was a breakthrough that minute. And the breakthrough was this. These people are not here to hear you talk. They are here to see what God would say through you. And it was a breakthrough, because the enemy of freedom, the enemy of articulation, the enemy of creativity is self-consciousness. It's performance anxiety. The thought that you have to do everything right, you have to do everything perfectly. You have to not make a mistake. You have to look smart and look cool and look in control at all times. That's the enemy of freedom of expression in any art, whether it's speaking, writing. They call it writer's block in writing. I don't know what they call it in speaking, probably speaker's block. But self-consciousness is the enemy. And when I realized that they weren't there to hear me, they were there to hear what God would have to say through me, then my self-consciousness fell away. I was still scared. My knees were literally knocking. I mean, that's not a figure of speech when they say your knees knock. My patellas, the little bone in between my femur and my tibia and fibula, it was vibrating. And my heart was pounding so hard, I could have sworn people would see it coming out of my chest. But I went up there and I just started. And it came. It was a miracle. I don't know how it happened. And that was the template. Because every single show that I do over the last 29 years is the same thing. Every day. It's the same thing. I have no confidence in my flesh. None. I have confidence in God. And I have confidence in the knowledge that He gave me. And He has that knowledge planted in you. And the strange thing is that when you wonder if it's still there, it's there. But it's hibernating. It's so interesting that when the topic comes up and when somebody asks a question, suddenly, now all this information comes up to the surface, bubbles to the surface. And that's where I thank God for that voluminous amount of information that I learned about Him through study, through reading. And I know that's in there, and I trust that. And I trust all the filters that I learned. As I hear people talk, as I hear other people teach, I run every word I hear through filters. Who's the scripture speaking to? What time was it written? Was this written to the circumcision or the uncircumcision? Is this a figure of speech or is it literal? And literal if possible. And I run all these rules of language through my head in seconds. I don't know how it happens. In seconds, as I'm listening to someone, and then I can now comment based on everything having run through the filter, and whatever survives the filter, then I know that's the thing, that's the truth, that's the issue, that's the important point. And then how I can talk about it, I don't know. Probably maybe because, again, like I stuttered my whole life. I don't know. I have a friend right now who's an artist, and he's working on a project, and he just can't come up with it. He's got artist block. And in my humble opinion, it's because he's overthinking it, thinking about it too much, wanting to do the perfect thing. The worst thing that a writer can do when starting an article or a book or a novel or anything is to be determined to write the most perfect paragraph in the English language or the most perfect sentence. I'm going to start out this novel or this article with the most perfect sentence that's ever been written. That produces writer's block because you're expecting too much of yourself. You're self-conscious. You have to be willing to write the worst sentence ever written in the English language. You have to be willing to do that. I have to be willing every time I get in front of this microphone to make a fool of myself. I've misquoted some scriptures. Somebody pointed out to me yesterday. I was talking about God created the waster to destroy, which is Isaiah 54:16. And this person said, "You kept saying Isaiah 45:16 instead of 54. I'm like, yeah, probably. I'm human. And therein lay the thing. Yeah. I'm human. I used to do shows back in the 90s at the Republic Broadcasting Network with a man named Frank Whalen, who had a live show on FM radio out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I remember I did the same thing there. I would just pray before every show. I'd pace up and down the room before I went on the air, and I said, "Jesus, please help me say something that will help these people. There's invisible people out there. I can't see them, but they're listening. And please, let me not be conscious of myself, but let me only be conscious of you. And let the words come, and let the words be fruitful. Let them help the people who are listening. Please, I beg you." I'm imploring God constantly. Help me. It's like, help me help them. And again, I learned all that in that bathroom in that hall in Windham, Ohio that day in June of 1994. Like I said, after that, they couldn't shut me up. But I don't know if it's going to happen the next time. That's the thing. I don't know. I have no confidence that I'll be able to do this tomorrow. No confidence. And I'm not kidding you. You have to take me seriously. You have to take this at face value. Because I don't know really what's going to happen next. This is why I don't like too much preparation. Here's another thing. I don't like too much preparation because in life, and no matter what you do, you have to maintain always the big picture. You cannot get lost in the details. Like, I know a lot of details, but when I write or when I speak, I may not call on any of them. I don't have to, but they inform the things that I do say and I do write. I heard Ernest Hemingway say, one of my favorite writers, Ernest Hemingway and Mark Twain, my two favorite writers. He said when he wrote The Old Man and the Sea, he said, I knew how a large fish sounded when it breached the water line and smacked back down. I know how the tug of a line feels when you get that bite. He went all these details of all the things that he knows. And he said, and I didn't put any of that in the book. What? The thing was, everything that he knew, everything that he had informed what he did write. He didn't have to say it all, but it was there and it informed it. It became the fuel that put out the words that he did say. In his video, Jason was saying concerning himself, I can't put words together. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I can't even remember things. He was demeaning himself, which I dig it. I mean, yeah, I feel that way too. But the thing is, that Jason has a voice that's unique. This is not a cliche. This is why I encouraged people for years to make your own video, make your own YouTube channel. People are tempted to say, well, it's all been said before. You've said it in all your shows. Other people have said it. What do I have to offer? This. People need to hear it from a unique perspective. And Jason and everyone else out there, you have a unique perspective. And you have your own gifts. You have your own shortcomings. And God mixes the gifts with the shortcomings. I mean, it's impossible to do anything perfectly. Impossible. Of course, every artist wants to. You want to do everything perfectly. You want to say everything just right. Sometimes after I make a show, I'm just like, why didn't I say this? Or why did I say that? Yeah, I can go back and edit it. But sometimes I just leave the mistakes in because, again, it helps keep people from thinking that, like, I got it all together. I don't. But God has it together. And it truly is a walk of faith and trust in Him. I'm not denying that He has given me certain gifts. But there's the thing right there. Was it 1 Corinthians 4:7? I quoted it yesterday, I think. What do you have that you have not obtained from God? Nothing. You have nothing. Everything that I have, any gift that I have to write or to present this truth to you in a coherent fashion, is a gift of God. And to be cognizant of that constantly, that's the secret, because you realize the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. The Lord could take this away. He could take away my mind. He could take away my ability to reason, to make sense. I mean, in so many ways, this fragile vessel can be wrecked. I mean, in some ways, it's wrecked now. But God uses the wreckage in combination with the knowledge to present His information in a way that is informative, but at the same time, human. This is why you and I despise these Christian pastors. T.D. Jakes, is that the guy's name? He comes immediately to mind. These guys are so slick, and they have all the right intonation. In fact, I remember a story about Abraham Lincoln giving the Gettysburg Address. There was a guy who went before him, like his opening act. Right, Lincoln travels from train from Washington, D.C. to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to dedicate the cemetery there in honor of those fallen at the Battle of Gettysburg. And before he went on, some guy, I don't know who it was, but he gave this eloquent speech. He had it prepared, and it was all practice. He probably said it in front of a mirror 15 times, and he intoned all the right words. He emphasized everything perfectly, and he went on for like an hour. An hour. Nobody remembers that freaking speech. Do you know the speech they do remember? The one Lincoln gave as he wrote it on the on an envelope on the train on the way to Gettysburg. 67 years ago, wrote it on an envelope. And as Lincoln stood on the podium, he was hunched over. He talked in his drawl. Nobody knows how. We have no audio recording of Abraham Lincoln. 67 years ago. I don't know. 67 years ago. I don't know how he said it, but it was somewhat embarrassing. The man's physical presence was embarrassing. He was tall as a beanpole, taller than everybody else in his generation. He was looking down, reading his envelope, whatever he wrote on the train. And it's immortal. Why? Why is that immortal? And the man who went before him, nobody remembers. Why? Because it came from his spirit, came from his soul, came from his heart. He didn't practice it once. He didn't have time to. Because it came from his instinct. And it's such a beautiful thing. And that's the miracle. That's why I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it tomorrow. I don't know how I'm doing it today. I'm so relieved when the video's over. I just can't believe that it's done. I can't believe that it happened again. I'm sure Abraham Lincoln was the same way. But the guy who went before him, or T.D. Jakes, or any other of these polished orators, they know exactly how it happened, and they know that it's going to happen tomorrow, and it's going to happen the next day, and the next day, and the next day, because they're machines. It's almost like, I don't mean this literally, but it's almost like they have no souls. But those of us who do, we're perched on the edge of disaster. Oh, that whiskey's strong. We're perched on the edge of disaster. I'll speak for myself. I'm perched on the edge of disaster. Every second of this video, I'm on the edge of disaster. I'm just barely hanging on. And that's good, because I have no confidence that it's ever going to happen again, or that it's going to happen to the end of this video. And as I sit here right now, this second, I don't know how this video is going to end. So I say that to Jason. I say that to Jason. I smiled throughout his video. Again, I'm going to link it down here because it was amusing. It was sweet of him to make a video about this. Because to some people, it seems amazing. Man, how can Martin make 2,000 shows? Huh? Every show seems to be pretty decent. Well, Martin doesn't know either. But this is what I was meant to do. This is what I was born to do. And you are all born to do what you were meant to do. I just say to you, and this is life advice, don't overthink anything. Keep it simple. Recognize at all times that what you have and what you do is not of you. You got it from an outside source, and the outside source is God. God gives me this. He gives you that. Gives Lincoln that. He gives Jason that. And it all works together, doesn't it? In some amazing tapestry that none of us could ever come up with. Not with centuries of planning could we come up with what God is doing here and now. And what I pray to God, He will also do tomorrow.